Hello, welcome back to another episode of Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going?
Pretty good. Yeah, another episode from the treehouse. So that means weather's good. Not much to complain about. And yeah, just really trying to get a handle on everything leading up to the baby. Last week I was saying, yeah, feeling better about where it's at, and I am. But I've definitely had to shift the things I'm working on pretty significantly. Happy to kind of dig into that. But is there anything on your end? Like, how are things going? Anything you want to break down?
Yeah, no, kind of similarly. I think just talking about, yeah, like we talk a lot about like kind of taking ourselves out of the critical aspects of the business and like have an update there from myself as well. And so I think it's kind of like the theme of this is like hiring to get specialized attention and focus and talent on the things that really matter. So yeah, I'll let you go first. I have a very short update. So keen to hear yours.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the things what I've been talking about was hiring an EA and hiring a copywriter. EA is going forward. I believe I'll be having a conversation with someone this week, maybe early next, who seems like they could be a great fit. And I've been trying to get enough processes documented to be able to hand off to them. The goal I've always said is I don't want someone who's just who can exclusively follow something that's already been created. And it doesn't mean I need someone who's a purely strategic thinker. Like, I want someone who can get things done as well. And I'm not going to expect them figure out this marketing campaign. But it's more just, okay, like, here's a clearly defined task. You're going to have to do some research to figure out what needs to get done to get this, maybe get some options for it, bring them back to me. Like, that sort of thing, I think, is definitely coachable and trainable. But that's going to take more back and forth to figure that out. So I'm trying to just figure out what are all the repeatable things that we can offload so that they at least like have a relatively full plate long term. I think the things I'm delegating won't take a ton of their time, but in the beginning, there's going to be a ramp up period. So I just want to make sure they can hit the ground running and not just kind of be twiddling their thumbs waiting for me. But on the copywriting side, I've realized like it's just too late for me to make that hire. It's a bit frustrating. Like, I wish I had spent, I was trying to do too many things and I knew this was a priority. But there were like a dozen other ones too. And I was just like, I'd spend an hour here or there trying to figure out the position, like, ooh, like this, maybe it's that. And then I would like do something else and just like never quite made the progress until I really sat down and fully thought it through and bounced some things off of you. But so by the time I got that together, I was like, okay, maybe I find someone, like best case scenario, find someone from our list, interview them within a week of sending out that email. And then they accept and start 2 weeks later is like pretty aggressive too. And then it's like, oh yeah, like that's a week from the due date. So probably not a great time to like be onboarding someone who would be working very closely with me in like a less structured and more like junior position where it's like, I'm going to be helping them along the way. So I think the plan is talk to the guys at Dynamite Jobs, might use them. I don't know. I was hoping like the copywriter position, like that positioning of it would be like, oh yeah, we know what you mean. And after talking with the guy for a while, like he got what I meant, but it definitely took a bit of like, so it's not a blog writer. It's like not this and it's not that. It's like that worries me a little, but that's just what I'm going to have to overcome regardless. And so I think it's that really comes down to me putting the effort on the copywriting of the job description and making it clear like what this is not, to just filter those people out up front. But once I get back, I think that'll be one of the first things I really start looking for. But in the meantime, I'm going to try to just like 80-20 and say, okay, like these are the pieces of copy that the website, like our headline, like those kind of things, like just got to redo that, update trial emails to reflect the new positioning, and then just like call it good. And I'm thinking right now, get this process stuff down, then whatever time I have, like I won't know it, but like I'm just gonna keep kind of like chipping away at the copy and hoping I can make a dent. But yeah, it's a good amount of that. And then too, it's just like I want Jordan to own more of the product release process from a marketing standpoint. And not even just marketing, but communication with our partners, with our customers, with everything else. And so it was funny, it's like I was gonna bring that up to him and then he actually brought up to me, he's like, oh, like I, he was like, we should probably talk about, like, I would like to be doing this kind of stuff. Like, we should talk about how I can do it. I was like, yeah, like, that's exactly awesome. What I was going to mention. So I am glad we're on the same page. And then
that's a really good feeling, by the way, when like someone else is finishing your thoughts for you, right? Like, that's amazing.
Yeah. And because a lot of times too, it's like, oh, I would love for you to be doing this other thing. And it's like, I can try it, but you can tell it's just like not the right fit. And so when this is something that he came to me with, it's like, oh, this is still going to take work, but going to be really excited about that. Got to spec out a good amount of features with Matt. That's been really fun, actually, because some of the things we're starting to get into the features that nobody else has at all. And a lot of what we do is unique, but it'll be relatable enough where people can understand it. And we're kind of doing some things that are more just unique, or not more unique. They just are unique. And that's a risky thing in any business. And like, typically I always push back on people trying to just like reinvent the wheel. The difference is that the top players in daily fantasy sports have different processes, different tools, different everything else than everybody else. Our partners in the company leverage our tools and data heavily, but they have the budgets and the expertise and everything else and time to build things on top of that that just do not scale, would not be possible for us to try to offer it, and all that sort of thing. And so we know what, like, this is, these are things that add significant value. How can we, sort of like what we were talking about last week with Pat, the Price Intelligently, Patrick, in the consulting, like the high dollar consulting, figuring out what elements of this can we productize in a way that we can offer it at scale, whether it's like literally in a product or it's through like a productized service. And we're able to get those insights and have some like really good ideas on ways we can do like a, not a, kind of a light version of what these top pros are doing. And so really excited about that. I don't view it as super risky, but then it's also been figuring out, okay, like if we're releasing these features, it's going to be on a tier that doubles our price, a little bit more than doubles the price. We need to think about launching that. So, okay, like that's me too. And yeah, it's like, fuck, all right, this is a good amount of stuff. What are the things that if I only do this, I'm not blocking anybody? So that's like what I'm tackling first.
The hard part is
I enjoy the launch strategy and everything else. Like, well, like I kind of want to do this instead. So
yeah. I don't know. That's cool, man. I mean, it all sounds really smart. Like, I think putting off hiring the marketer until you're back, and even like a month after you're back, probably, right? Like, because you're gonna have catch up to do for quite a while. Like, I think it all makes sense. It's actually probably lucky that you got so close and then realized this, because if you'd have onboarded them and then they would have had a month, they still would have been lost, right? Without you, like, you can't onboard a person like that and then get effective that quickly, I don't think. So I think that's a blessing in disguise, probably. Yeah, on the product stuff, man, like we feel this a little bit, because like we're definitely the only company in the business that has like direct integrations for private podcasting. And every once in a while, I'm like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing with this? And then I get on the phone today with someone for like an advanced level kind of sales call. And they're like, look, we want to do this and this and this and this and this super sophisticated stuff with one of our integration partners. And it's like a $50,000 a year opportunity. And you're like, yep, that's why we do this, is because we know it unlocks this power user kind of potential that like is not playing in our $19 a month world. And I think it's just, it takes this like transformational kind of mindset to say like, we have these customers we serve over here at this level. And then this other thing we're looking at is like almost entirely different, right? Like it's almost an entirely different like way that you speak to them and a way that they perceive value and stuff. And I think that's challenging in a small business. I think even at the size of business that we're at, it's kind of risky, because like if you get it wrong, you put a whole bunch of kind of like time, money, and effort and attention into this thing. I feel like we're getting it pretty right, and that like we have traction and we have accelerated traction with some of these, but it is a risk that like smaller companies just can't take.
And it's sort of what I was getting at, where I feel like you straddle the line well, but it's like, I'm not creating something new. It might be new to the public market and it might be a different variation of something that already exists, but it's not entirely new. But additionally, like objectively, this will get you better results. And so it's not as though like, I think you could sell that. I think you could, like, if you do this and that, like, I think that'll help your process. It's like, we just like, no, like it will. And so part of our marketing is going to be showing that. And that was one of the big things that I spent a lot of time talking with Matt about is we've got this new podcast called Behind the Sims, where it just reveals, like, we just literally record some of our internal conversations where we're just digging into a specific problem over weeks. And we'll release those so people can see like how we work through it in the iterations of that. And then when we like finish it, it'll be more of like a presentation of the person, like, here's what I found, and like give concrete findings. And the last thing we worked on was just in DFS, these sites have dozens and dozens of different contests. And some of them you can only put one lineup in, others you can put 150 in. Some of them have 100,000 people in it, others have 100 people in it. And there's a lot of rules of thumb around what contests are like the best ones to play, but no one's really like done much of the math around it. And usually you're also not playing just one contest, you're playing a handful. It's like, what should my portfolio of contests be? And so what we've been digging into for like the first series on Behind the Sims is just analysis of the expected ROIs in these contests and the variance of them. And we're able to do it by basically, we downloaded thousands and thousands of these contests. We have every lineup for everyone in those contests. And then we use our sims to sim out if this contest played out 3,000 different times.
Cool. Yeah.
How often would your lineup win? How often would you lose? Like, what different places would you come in? If you put in 150, we'll look at someone who put in 150 lineups and to see the expected value of all of those. Pretty cool process. And so that's like something we're going to be presenting very soon. But with that, we can make some tweaks to the framework that we built and then just say like, look, one of these new features is what we're calling a lineup diversifier. Typically, we'll build 1,500 lineups for someone, and then we have different options for how they sort and rank the lineups. And then say they want 20, we'll choose the top 20. Oftentimes, those top lineups are going to be very similar to one another. And so even though you're putting in 20 different ones, they're just highly correlated. And so if one does well, it's very likely they're all going to do well. If one doesn't, it means you're going to have a bad night. And that 40th lineup, that 50th lineup, might be like technically worse, but not by much. And so what we're doing is building a way to diversify, like choose, say you want 20 lineups. We'll look at that pool of 1,500 and choose the most diverse 20 that still meet your criteria. And then what we'll be able to do, we'll be able to, by simming out the contest, we can measure the variance of those lineups. So, okay, if you have $1,000 bankroll, is there a chance you're going to, like, what percent of the time will you go broke over a season playing this contest? How many days will you win on average? What percent of the days will you win? And we'll be able to compare that to a more concentrated position of lineups. And we'll also be able to compare, like, okay, like, yeah, maybe these diverse ones are more stable, but like, do you have to give up a lot of edge to get that?
Interesting.
Our very confident theory is no, you'll give up some ROI, but minimal for a noticeable impact in lowering variance. And it's like, when we build that, one, we'll be able to release these episodes of us breaking it down, of like literally like us building the framework to test it. Then once we do test it, we'll be able to release the results in its own stream that we can then promote to everyone. And then it's just like, no, like if you don't believe that what we say is like true, if you think we're just making all this up, that's fine. But if you believe what we're saying is true, then like, yes, this will work for you as well.
I love that kind of content though. It's amazing.
Yeah. And I really like it too, because it fits our culture and it's easier in the sense of, I don't need to try to come up with these. Like, I'm not like a gimmicky person. Like, I hate trying to think of like, oh, what can I do to get attention on this and that? It's like, no, like, if we're going after the best customers, these are people who want this content. It doesn't exist out there. We're already creating it just internally. And one of our biggest issues is not selling what we do enough. Just be kind of like, oh, no, just like, trust us. Like, no, we did the back test. We got this figured out. Like, you don't need to mess around with this. Like, we've done the work. But they're like, okay, like, why should I believe you? And this is why, like, we'll show them why. And so that's like the, I'm very excited about that, but it's definitely a different challenge than creating something where it's like, I think these features should help private podcasters, but no one's doing it because like you're the only ones that like, creating it. It's not as like I'm sure there's a handful of private podcasts that have built their own tech, but like it's not as though it's something where you can take some of those things and build it. Like you have to be the trailblazer, which comes with more risk.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, in our case, it's a bit of a timing thing too, which doesn't sound like it's the case for you. It's like you're just sharing this like expanded knowledge and kind of access with people that probably already want this and are already kind of trying to play in this way. And you're just doing it in a smarter, kind of more effective way, which is cool.
Yeah. It's like, we've wanted to, there's a few features we're going to get in that are these pro features. Then there's still a handful of features that our competitors have. We feel like you shouldn't necessarily need, but they give you extra control over the process. We think that control can help, but for most people, it doesn't, and it wastes a lot of time. But there are definitely people out there who have spent enough time to get value from it. And if we don't have these features, they will just, they can't switch to us. And these are the people who like are our best customers. Like they are the ones who they've been playing for years. They've been subscribing to multiple tools for years and everything else. And like, if they used us, they would last for years compared to others who last for months. And so, and it's not a tiny market either. And so it's like, we want to plug those gaps and then keep going back to the new stuff and then plug a few more gaps, go to the newer things. And, but we're just getting closer and closer to having those gaps plugged. And so I'm like very excited about where we're at, especially as like we're already starting to have to think about football coming up. So it'll be a lot. And then I think, baby's going to come. That's obviously the focus. But when I come back, it's going to be a busy, busy time. So just trying to get everything up and running as well as I can.
Yeah. That's interesting, man. Like this concept of like plugging the gaps of like your product is already feature complete, like to a point, right? It's like a spectrum even, I think, like feature complete for all the things you need. And then like all the things that you more advanced users want. And then there's a set of like, in 3 years, we're going to have this. And like for us, that's like these integrations with private podcasting and like and paid content and stuff. And like we're, I think... Frankly, like we have a hard time balancing those three buckets. Sometimes it's like we have like the things for core podcasting, right? Which like this show runs on. And then there are things for like more power podcasters. And like for us, and then I'm just trying to kind of abstract away what you're saying. Like for my use case is like, that's like podcast networks and ad monetization and dynamic ad insertion, things like that. And then there's things that we think like is the future. And we might as well be the one to trailblaze this, like you said, which is like direct monetization and private podcasting. And it's like, I don't know how to think about that. Like as a relatively small, relatively bootstrapped company, I think your approach of like, make sure your bases are covered here and then take like these shots into like the future, whether that's kind of up market to more power users or like, hey, this is where the market is going in a few years and we want to get there ahead of time. Like, I don't know what the right way is there. I think that what you're talking about is smart. I think the challenge is like, how much do you let yourself dream and like have the business kind of live in the future? And how much do you say like, right now, this is what everybody needs. Let's build that. Because I think then if you just keep doing that, then you're always behind, you know?
Yeah. And I think we have gotten better about it. But like Matt and I love like the dreaming about what we could do. And at the same time, it's like we'll have those dreams and it gets us like excited when we'll have those 2-hour calls where we just go in a direction we weren't thinking about. And then we start to be like, oh, this would be really cool. And we then have to just like slow down and say, okay, like, because there are some of these like power features we want to build, but if we don't plug some of those gaps, the people who would care about it still aren't going to switch to us. And so that's really the balance. But it's, I view it as a balance between those two areas, but even those power features, like I don't view those as industry leading. That's not the right word, because it would absolutely be industry leading. I don't view it as like a speculative innovation, because it's more just like objective. This will get you better results and we can prove it.
Yeah.
Whereas I think like when it comes to more traditional features in like a product sense, it's like, well, like this should make things easier for you. Or like, yeah, if we give you access to these different networks, that will help. But it's just, you have to get them to care about it. You have to do all these other things where it's like, that's the hard part, is when you 100%. Get to that bleeding edge, it's the education and convincing. And we do have ideas for that kind of thing, but it's like, I put that stuff off indefinitely until it's like everything else is checked off the list of the kind of things where if we build this, we will be able to sell more accounts and we'll be able to charge more for it. And so that's more the lens that I look at through, is just, yeah, is this right now not having this preventing us from getting customers? Or is it, if we offer it, we'll be able to charge more? And it's like some of these like pie in the sky ideas, the answer is just very shaky on both of those. Whereas there's other things just like, yes, this will obviously get us more customers. And yes, there are clearly customers every day that email in and be like, why'd you cancel it? Oh, because you don't have this.
Yeah.
So that makes it easier, but it's still,
Nice, man. Yeah. Last update for me is, you know, like the analogy you made in our last episode about like, you know, the exit of Price Intelligently or ProfitWell versus Baremetrics, like really like struck home, because like, I think everyone who's been following like this show and my journey for a long time knows that like our product as service arm has always been like a nice thing to have, but not like the thing that really got me excited about the business. And even though like it drives an enormous amount of value for our customers, and especially like the right kind of customer, it's just amazing. Like, and we're selling most of our corporate deals, we're selling a combination of services and hosting, which I think makes a company coming to us just like, it's a no-brainer. It's like, hey, we can pay Castos to do all this stuff for us. Anyways, so like I've had varying degrees of like leaning into it and shying away from it and being annoyed and then really respecting it. And like what I've come to realize, I think this is like the most mature attitude I've had on it so far, is that like, it's really valuable to the company and to our customers. And the reason that I get frustrated with sometimes is because I'm too involved in it. And that's the thing with services, I think, over product, is there are individual people that come to you and need things, whereas like the product just needs this thing. And like, it's not any different that like, because there's a person behind the product that has this bug or whatever. But to me, it's just like, hey, we need zeros and ones to fix this thing so this bug doesn't come back. Anyways, long way of saying, like, we are hiring what I think is the last person that we need for this role to be able to take like a lot of the customer direct communication off my plate, calling it a podcast coach. So go castos.com/careers. You can see the job posting for this. Basically it's a coach, right? It's a person to help our customers be more successful, guide them through like the launch process that we work with customers through, kind of help them onboard into our production service. Yeah, it's just all these calls that I take for our services, and that like when a question comes up with a customer, Isel, our productions manager, comes to me and says, hey, what about this thing? And like, this is going to be that person that is that kind of barrier going forward, because if we do this, then we can really scale our services without it being more pain for me, which is great. So that's kind of where I am. Really excited about it. Just put it up today. Already have like some really interesting people that we'll be talking with. And it's like right now, like a lot of our things, it's just a part-time thing, right? It's going to be, you know, I don't know, however many hours a week, and kind of can scale as we have demand. And maybe it's full-time in the future, maybe it's not. But I think this is a pretty sweet gig for the right person.
Also, I feel like that'll be a good thing to dig into
next
week or in future episodes. I've got a lot of thoughts, so we'll save that one as a bit of a cliffhanger. But as always, Craig, it was good catching up.
Yeah, man. Sounds great. Thanks, everyone, for listening. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions for us, shoot us a message, podcast@seekingscale.com. And we'll see you soon.